Welcome to Gila Members Community Radio. Next up, we'll be back to the garden, conversations with Jean Eisenhower and her guests on all things green and growing in and around your house. This is GMCR, a voice and a choice for Southwest New Mexico.
Comes the springtime, plant your seeds, see what you can do to grow your needs. Tend your gardens, touch the earth, thank the stars above for all your worth. Seasons of plenty, seasons of change, also abundantly here.
Hello and welcome back to the garden. I'm your host, Jean Eisenhower, and this is a show for gardeners, beginning gardeners, and all those who think it would be a good idea to have a garden. Today I'm going to be talking with Greg Renfro, who shares my garden as well as my home and my life. We're still on the serious learning curve of gardening, still very much students, but we're going to share what's going on in our garden this week, what we've learned about harvesting squash, and all the things we're planning to do now to prepare for the coming cold weather. Thanks for coming on the show again, Greg.
Hey, you're welcome, Jean. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, before we get to some of the practical matters about preparing for the temperatures to drop to freezing, let's talk about our squash. We had a pretty good squash harvest
for a small garden. This was a good harvest this year. In fact, we just did it this afternoon. Of course, you know you were there. And, you know, it's time to bring them in.
Yeah. So we planted a Three Sisters garden, squash, beans, and corn.
Right.
Corn providing the trellis for the beans, and the squash providing the cover, keeping the ground cool under the corn and beans roots.
Squash did well. And corn did okay. Beans got, I think they have to go in first, actually, so they can get some growth before we put the squash in, because the squash took over.
And there might have been something, too, about our storing the beans. We're still learning a lot, and we learned that we didn't store our seeds properly. That's my guess about the beans not performing.
Could be.
But the squash came on great.
Yep.
And we did three different varieties, which means we can't be saving seeds this year, but we'll feed them to the birds who will like them, our chickens who will like them.
Right.
But we just read up on harvesting squash. And what I learned was that we've got to wait till the color's right. And usually that's just about the same time that the vine's dying off. But sometimes one happens before the other.
Well,
but
we got hit last night. I mean,
with a little bit of freeze.
Yeah, and it hit the leaves. And you could see them this morning. They didn't come back like they sometimes will.
Yeah.
And so it's time to get everything in. And I see by Saturday night we're going to be in the mid to low 30s.
Mm-hmm. And so even though that's not 32 degrees, there was clear evidence that things froze in the yard, even though officially the temperature wasn't freezing.
Right. Yeah, it was definitely got hit. So now's the time to get, you know, your remaining tomatoes, any plants that are in pots, get them into the greenhouse.
I'm going
to
harvest the last of the basil, the basil that didn't freeze.
Yeah, it got hit. And just get, you know, be ready by Saturday, Sunday morning. It's going to be chilly here.
So I want to share what I learned about squash hardening. We've got to wait till the winter squash, that's what we're talking about, is winter squash, not summer squash, has to have that nice hard shell on it so that it'll last through the winter. It can last, the squash that don't last the longest only go maybe 5 weeks, but a lot of them will make it all the way through the winter.
Yeah.
And
if they're kept right. And
that hard shell.
Right.
And to get that hard shell, if it doesn't have, we have a few that have a nice hard shell on them, but maybe they could be harder. And some of them are clearly not as hard, and they still have a little bit of green. They're not that characteristic color. We've got spaghetti squash and butternut and acorn, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so if they're not quite the color that we're looking for, I'm assuming they need to ripen some more and harden. And apparently they get sweet as they develop that shell. And so you don't want to eat them sooner because they're not going to be as sweet.
Right.
So to get that hard shell, they need to be kept actually warm and dry and definitely not
freezing. For a couple weeks anyway.
For a couple weeks. Right. And then they go into cool temperatures, also dry, and also somewhere where they won't freeze.
Yeah.
So we're going to start.
So if you have a cold place in your house and it's kind of the chilly area, That's a good place to put them.
Like our pantry, we think will do pretty well.
Right.
And then some people will have basements, or they'll have different kinds of cold storage. And we're going to start for the warm weeks. And they're saying, you know, maybe 2 weeks. I thought that it just needed to be dry. But no, they're saying around 2 weeks to develop that nice hard shell.
Right.
And so we'll probably keep them in the sunroom during the daytime, and then maybe bring them into the house at night just in case the sunroom gets especially cold. Anyway, when you harvest the squash, we need to, if they're pumpkins, they need to have a nice long stem on them. But every other squash shouldn't have much of a stem at all, because it can poke its neighbor while you're keeping them in storage. And if they get a poke, then they can
start degrading.
They
say a quarter inch somewhere around that. Leave a little bit on there. You don't want to take it all the way down to the quick. Otherwise, it'll start getting damaged.
And you don't want to break it off either at the quick, which might be easy. But that area is real soft, and so it can get infected with bacteria and fungus. So that's what we're going to be doing, is harvesting those, and it sure is satisfying. You know, everybody says it might not pay in the hours and the money you put in, but it's satisfying.
Well, it was a great, you know, we didn't plant them until midsummer.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
yeah,
then
we
right at
the monsoons.
And then the monsoon, we had a great year this year for water around here. Better than most years I've seen. And, you know, and it's interesting to see how the frost hit in the garden. Some things didn't even get touched. There were things right next to things that did get hit. So I guess it has to do with the plant too. I mean, some things are just hardier.
Tender.
Yeah,
right.
Some things are tender. The basil, the tomato plants, even parts of the tomato that got hit.
Mm-hmm.
Not the whole tomato plant got hit.
Right.
It was interesting to see that.
Yeah. And now some of our tomatoes, I know that we can wrap up and we can keep them in the pantry and just check them regularly and see when they ripen. And then others will, I guess we'll try fried green tomatoes.
I heard it's a good movie.
I've tried to cook them before and they were okay. I like ripe tomatoes better, but we'll see what we can ripen. And
yeah, some people
do
love
some
those green tomatoes. I guess, you know, green tomato relish. I mean, you know.
Yeah. And then back to, I just remembered squash being stored, they need to be checked weekly and made sure that there's no spots going bad. And as you check them all, if there's one with a spot on it, go ahead and put it on the menu that week.
Yeah, anytime you store stuff like tomatoes or apples, anything like that, you need to go through them and cull them.
And thanks for mentioning apples, because you don't want to store your squash anywhere near apples or pears.
Really?
Because the ethylene that they give off will cause your squash to keep on ripening and rot soon.
Huh.
So keep them away from there.
From apples and pears.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, you learned so much on this radio show.
Okay, so last week, Greg, you took care of some of the mechanical needs getting ready for the freeze.
Right. Yeah, some of the household stuff, covering the cooler, draining it, getting it ready for the winter.
Yep.
Turning the water supply off, stuff like that.
Right. And I know a couple years ago, I kept meaning to cover that hose bib, and I didn't. And one day, I had water spraying 30 feet high because it froze. So I want to remind everybody, don't put that off. We've got we have one that is freeze-proof, and we've got another one that isn't. So we've got to wrap that one with a blanket and put something waterproof over it. And
take the filter off our filter. We filter our garden water.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to take the filter off and bring it in, because that'll freeze, and it'll cost you some money, and that's no fun.
Right. I had to buy a new one of those, too.
No fun, huh?
Mm-mm, no.
Anyway, those are the little things. And, it's coming, folks. We were out in the country yesterday visiting some people, and they had a good frost out there a couple nights ago.
Froze the tops of some of their tomatoes, huh?
Yeah. It pretty much froze their whole tomato plants. So it's coming. It's inevitable.
Yep.
Be ready.
And I'm looking forward to this winter. We worked really hard this summer, but it was a phenomenal summer. I think it was the best garden of my life, but it also was the best year of my life. There's something about gardening.
Yeah.
And
gardening and being outdoors. And really, it has been a good garden year. And I think for most people that we've met through this show, who have had great gardens this year. It's been a real pleasure to visit their gardens and see who they are and what they're doing. And everybody does it their own way. That's the neat thing about gardening.
Right. But it always inspires us, you know, to get a new picture of what we could do on our property, our landscaping, which is entirely different than everybody else's. But people, we get ideas and we share and we inoculate each other with new ideas.
Well, we have that warm granite hillside that makes the sun hits and it stays warmer a little bit longer when we're right in that corner.
So. Yeah. So every place is different. And, but we can still learn from each other, and I hope that this radio show is providing the same sort of benefit as visiting your local gardener neighbor. Let's see.
Well, it's going to be interesting as it goes through the winter, because there's things to do all the time in gardens, even during the winter. So as you progress weekly, I hope people tune in and you know, learn little tidbits here and there.
Yeah, and I'd love it if people would give a call and say, here's something I'm doing. What's coming up for us this winter? When we finish talking about a little bit more winter rising, is winter's the time to do our pruning and our transplanting.
Right.
And to also not forget to water. And pruning and transplanting can't be done just any winter day. You've got to pick that winter day that has good sun, so you know you're comfortable being out there, and then get out that shovel and do that work.
Around here, that's a lot of winter days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't think people have a problem finding that out. And it's a good time to do your pruning. If they want to learn a little bit more about that, they can go to gmcr.org and tune into your past radio shows. A couple of weeks ago, you had Cheyenne on here, Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas, and he did, and he's an expert. He's going to be doing a workshop here in town in mid-November.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People should pay attention to that and attend that workshop, because he's really studious of what he does, and people can really learn a lot from him.
Yeah,
how to prune their trees, because it's an important element to doing gardens and fruit trees.
Yeah, the gist of Cheyenne's talk was that for millennia, humans have been evolving with plants, and so we've been choosing the genetics that we want, and we have chosen plants and helped them evolve toward this phenomenal growth, real vigorous growth, and we have to balance that and help the plants not overdo themselves and, you know, prune them back for their own health. And greater productivity both. And that's something that I've completely neglected, and I'm really looking forward to pruning my trees this winter.
I've always had a hard time doing that. It's like,
it breaks my heart to saw off or lop off a young branch. But we're going to do that this winter. I want to get back to one more water, preparing for freezing temperatures. We have a water tank, and I hope a lot of people do or are planning to get a water tank.
For their roof catchment.
For their roof catchment, to harvest rainwater to use on your property. Last week, Osher Gelbart talked to us about water tanks and their value. And one of them is so that you have water without chlorine in it, but you also have water with nitrogen in it. So we've got a water tank, and it's in the only place that it would work on our property. It's where the rain came down, and there was things to plant nearby. But that is also a place that doesn't have a whole lot of sun. And so
it gets pretty good afternoon sun, though.
Yeah, but not the best. And so I'm concerned that it can be cold all night long, all morning long, and not get heated up till afternoon. And if it doesn't warm back up again, maybe that tank might freeze. It's off the ground, which I think is good for it. It's insulated from the cold, the freezing temperatures. It'll be in the top inches of the soil a lot of the winter. But it's covered by a concrete casing that we put around it to make it look like the gray granite hill behind it. And I'm hoping that this will protect it from freezing, but I don't know.
Well, it did last year.
And we had it filled with water, didn't we?
Yeah.
Did we have it filled
all
the
way? I didn't fill it all the way up.
Okay.
Three quarters of the way.
Well, I just want to just put the idea out there that if you've got water tanks, make sure that they're also winterized. They've got to be insulated.
Right. That's a good point.
Or at least leave a gap at the top so that freezing water can expand and not blow the top off of them. So, okay. That's it for, I think, for preparing for freezing. Let's take a little break, and we'll come back with a calendar. All right, we're back to the garden with Greg Renfro, talking about getting our gardens ready for winter. And now we've got a calendar of events that I hope will be interesting to gardeners, we are now in the last few weeks of the harvest season when we can enjoy not only the fresh produce from our local gardeners and support them, but also enjoy the social environment of these wonderful markets. If you haven't been out there, you must get to your local farmers market. And I'm pretty sure that at least one vendor at each market will have plant starts for your winter garden. The Gila Farmers Market takes place Tuesdays and Saturdays, 3 to 6 p.m. It's on the main road in front of the old grocery store. And for those on the far west of our listening area out around Mule Creek, that market takes place every Friday and Saturday from 10 to 1. And the Members Valley Farmers Market is open Thursdays from 3:30 to 5:30 at the San Lorenzo Senior Center. And the Silver City Farmers Market takes place every Saturday from 8:30 to noon downtown next to the San Vicente Creek off of Bullard between 7th and 8th Streets. And this coming on the 26th, not this Saturday but the next, there will be the Farm to Chef Showcase, which will feature samples of food prepared by local chefs who also grew the food locally. And they'll have a booklet of all their recipes. But this is not just for professional chefs. If you are a chef, you could also participate in this. So you should call Saskia at 534-0101, extension 2102 for information about participating. And tomorrow night, Friday, October 18th, Gila Native Plant Society will host a presentation by Dr. Patrick Alexander on gypsophilia, based on his book, Gypsum and the Plants That Call It Home. That'll be at 7 p.m. in WNMU's Harlan Hall, room 111. We also have the High Desert Organic Gardeners, that's High Dog for short, meetings, the last Tuesday of every month. So the next one will be October 29th at 6:30 p.m. at the Volunteer Center's Commons Room at 13th and Bennett Streets. I'll be making a presentation this month on designing the infrastructure of your yard so that all the energy flows of sun, wind, water, cold air, privacy, views, animals, and more all work for you and not against you, at least to the best that we can design. And it's free. That's it for this week's calendar. If you know of other free events of interest to gardeners, please call the station at 538-4891 and let us know, or call the station if there were any details that you missed. So if you just tuned in, this is Back to the Garden, and I'm talking with Greg Renfro about getting the garden ready for winter. Let's see, do you see anything else on our list that we need to talk about, Greg?
Well, we could talk about, you know, bedding in your plants for the winter, mulching,
yeah.
getting it ready for any rain, the precipitation that does come, snow.
Yeah.
It's always good to have snow sitting on the ground a little bit and melting in. Keeping the roots of the
right.
existing perennials that are there, keeping them warm.
Right. So we're not going to forget to water, but then if we mulch, we hold it in the ground because plants can actually dry out in the winter.
They sure can, probably faster than in the summer, really.
Yeah, people forget
the
about that.
The sun still takes its toll.
And the air is still dry, so it's mm-hmm. sucking the moisture out. So we've got to make sure that our plants are well mulched for winter
time. And we have very fine weather here in the winter. You can get out there on a 55-degree summer winter day and mm-hmm. do some watering.
Yeah.
Keep things alive.
Right. And so straw is one thing to use for mulch, but leaves are coming down everywhere. And I saw an ad from a local hardware store selling leaf blowers and trash cans. And so
must be a big business.
I know there's people who are still bagging up leaves and sending them to the dump. So if you see anybody doing that, yeah. ask them if you can take those away for them and use them for mulch on your own garden or put them in your compost.
I'm not sure what, you know, if there's certain leaves that are better than others, there probably
yes, there are.
Some leaves, I don't know, I know oaks have some kind of and elms, they might even have that same kind of toxicity to them. I don't
mm-hmm.
know. But,
okay.
But I'd look into it if I were to do a lot of it.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
All right, another thing to prepare for winter, I don't know how many people have chickens.
Well, I think it's becoming more and more so in this city.
Mm-hmm. I know that there are a lot more. And next week, we're going to have Polly Cook, who is a city councilwoman and a backyard chicken advocate and a backyard chicken owner, come
well,
to talk to us about
we've
chickens.
We've had chickens now for like a couple months now.
Yeah, we just got chickens, and we absolutely love the way that...
They are great neighbors.
They're great neighbors. They're wonderful entertainment. They give us eggs, and
getting a couple a day now from three chickens.
And they love all the seeds that come out of our squash, the seeds that come out of our melons, the seeds that come out of our tomatoes, wheat seeds.
Wheat seeds, yeah.
We are able to throw them a lot of food. Dandelions, those leaves are one of their favorites.
And the reason we got them was Well, for the eggs, but also just for the compost and their manure.
The fertilizer.
The fertilizer for the garden as years go by.
They kick-started our compost from a really meager effort to a huge benefit.
So I highly recommend everybody to get, you can have at least 6 chickens in Silver City. You have to be permitted, and they come and inspect your coop to make sure that you're treating the chickens right.
Yeah, we'll talk all about that next week with Polly.
Right.
But right now, we've got to think about winterizing that chicken coop. And it's not going to be much because we insulated it. But just keeping those windows closed at night, keeping the door closed at night. And then some people will actually throw a blanket over their coop to take care of them. Yeah. And I think we can move on to planning for winter crops, too.
Well, you know, it's almost getting a little late for that.
Well, we put some in, but then we had to make an emergency trip out of town. And so the gardens didn't survive. We've got just a few things coming up. But excellent winter crops, and I don't think it's too late to put them in.
Well, what we're going to do now is start thinking about the inside.
Yeah,
we'll
do that.
With the sunroom and stuff.
Right. So beets, carrots, leeks, collards, chard, and almost all the greens. I'm gonna try some outside. But yeah, we're all set up to grow inside the greenhouse now.
Yeah.
And our greenhouse is not really a greenhouse. It's a sunroom.
Sunroom, yeah.
And I enclosed a porch on the south side of my house, put windows all the way across it. It provides excellent warming for the house all winter long. Just open up the doors and windows from the sunroom to the house every winter day, and heat pours in there. Really reducing the energy bills. And that room can also be used for planting winter crops.
Yep.
So we're going to give that a try. And just want to encourage all the listeners to think about where you might grow inside this winter, if you've got a sunroom or just a kitchen window.
Yep. A lot of people just do it right in their little kitchen windows and grow all what they need, herbs especially.
Right, right. And those can... those can grow for many years, even though basil's thought of as an annual plant. I have a friend who has had one for years, and he just has basil in the house all year long. So that's one of my goals, too, is get that going.
Yeah, we should have moved it in last night.
Probably, yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, but it wasn't a container that could be moved in. So, gardening is infinitely challenging. There's something new every year, and... zillion new ideas to try to incorporate into our garden.
Well, that's what's good about shows like this, for people to get ideas, and if they have a half hour to listen to it, or Saturday morning, 10:30, you can rehear this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be great. It's just great. And I highly recommend anybody that hasn't yet to come down to the station at 6th and Bullard and become a member of this radio station, which is going to be on the air by the end of the year. Full steam ahead, FM radio.
I'm real proud of that. And I've been part of community radio since the 70s. And I'm very, very proud that we have one happening here. I think it's one of the most important things in our country today, that we have free flow of information.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, come on, people.
It's time
to get down here and let's be part of it.
Okay, but we got a little bit more to share.
Okay.
I would like to share 2 books that I'm going to be reading this winter. One of them is Carrots Love Tomatoes, which Blythe Whiteley talked about on the very first show here when she came and talked about flowers, because she also gardens with vegetables. And it talks about all the different plants that love to grow with other plants. So Carrots Love Tomatoes is the title, subtitle being Secrets of Companion Planting for Successful Gardening. So I just turned to the vegetables in here, looked up carrots, and saw all the things that carrots love to grow with besides tomatoes. And it's extensive. There's just almost too much to talk about.
So what do they do, interview the carrots and ask them about?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So let me see here. Carrots. For sweet tasting carrots, you must have sufficient lime, humus, and potash. Too much nitrogen will cause poor flavor, as will a long period of hot weather. But here's what they love. Onions, leeks, and herbs such as rosemary, wormwood, and sage, they act as repellents to the carrot fly. And that's just part of it. It goes on and on talking about what carrots love. So to plan for spring, winter's what we'll do. We'll plan those spring gardens, and we'll time things out, and we'll put our plants together with their companions that will keep the pests away and help them with their strongest root growth and do all the things for them that just help them grow the best.
Right.
And then I'm going to reread, maybe for the third time, one of my favorite books of all time called The Secret Life of Nature, Living in Harmony with the Hidden World of Nature Spirits, From Fairies to Quarks. Yes, that is not a meaningless subtitle. And this is by Peter Tompkins, who wrote the book The Secret Life of Plants, which was an international bestseller. And this book
That's a great book.
Yeah, I read some of it out loud,
right.
You know, quite a few evenings in front of the fire. So that's more of what we're planning for this winter time, garden-related, is just reading books. And
get your, you know, start ordering plant catalogs from different nurseries and go through them. And there's a lot of them.
Oh, and to find out the best, or at least one local expert's opinion of the best, go to the show with Blythe Whiteley, the very first show, because she names her favorite gardening catalogs.
Right.
And did you want to go?
I was just saying people should, you know, look into it. They're not that hard to find, and there's some great catalogs. And it's fun to look through them in the wintertime sitting by the wood fire.
Yeah, it sure is. So let's just sum up what's going on at this time of year, because sometimes, you know, we're tired from gardening, and we know that the holidays are coming up, it's getting busy, and it's a perfect time to just be a slug and do nothing. Just relax and kick back for a little while.
Yeah, you know, make sure things are in order, bed your stuff in.
But let's take care of a few basic things.
Right. But it is definitely quiet and down, and it is kind of a relief.
Yeah, it is. I'm so looking forward to reading and knitting in front of the fire. But we got the winterizing taken care of. The swamp cooler is drained. We're going to insulate that hose bib and insulate the water filter, do a little bit more planning, get those last winter items in that we might be able to keep alive outside, and then get going on an inside greenhouse garden. Make sure that all the garden is mulched. We got our compost going, our chickens taken care of, and don't forget to water. And I think that's just about it. Greg, any last words?
No, I think that's about it. Thanks for listening, everybody. Tell all your friends and neighbors.
All right.
GMCR.org.
Okay. And so, thank you for joining us, everybody. If there is anything you missed, you can either call the station at 534-4891 or go to GMCR.org, then click Programs, Back to the Garden, and then select this show, which will be posted very soon for listening at your leisure. Thank you so much, Greg, for sharing this hour with us and for the intro and outro music. And thanks to Kyle Johnson for handling the production. And he just handed me a message that the phone number is 597-4891. My apologies, 597-4891. Thank you, gardeners everywhere, for keeping these essential skills alive for all of us and for sharing them with others. Tune in next week for another interview with another local gardener, Polly Cook, talking about chickens. Then we're going to have Nava on soon talking about herbal gardens. Until next week, I'm wishing you peaceful, healing moments in your garden. Thank you. I'm Jean Eisenhower.
See what you can do to grow your needs. Tend your gardens. Touch the earth. Thank the stars above for all your worth. Seasons of plenty. Seasons of change. Also abundantly here.
This is Gila Members Community Radio. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to Back to the Garden with Jean Eisenhower. Join us again next Thursday at 4:30 for more conversation on all things green and growing. This is what community radio looks like. This is GMCR.